We're wrapping up our year-end series this morning. God absolutely with the message, Jesus saves absolutely. And as we started off, we heard a little snippet of the Christmas story when CJ and Chanson opened the service. But I want to take a few moments on this December 23rd and read the whole story. And then I'll make some comments after that. But let's just take a moment to drink in the full account of what happened 2,000 years ago at this season. This is found in Matthew chapter 1 through 3 and Luke chapter 1 through 2. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb, and Elizabeth was leapt for joy, and the baby was... When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived to her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting the child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared, and the angel praising God with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen, which were just as they had been told. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born, King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their mouths, they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angels had given him before he had been conceived. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with the wisdom and grace, and the grace of God was upon him. Powerful story, powerful truth, very odd. Very strange. What a strange way to save the world. If you ever read the Bible, I'm sure you do often, have you noticed how strange God is to us in this world? He says things like, if you want to be first, become the last. If you want to be greatest, be the servant of all. If you want to save your life, lose your life. If you want prosperity, give. Turn the other cheek when someone strikes you. If someone steals your coat, offer your cloak as well. If someone wants you to go with them 1 mile, go with them 2 miles instead. God is strange. Full of paradoxes, full of, I didn't think that's the way it was going to go, full of, that doesn't make sense to me type of things. And the Christmas story is one of the most paradoxical, full of strange things. One part of the story I didn't read follows that in the midst of this great birth, King Herod, being jealous, commanded that all the babies 2 years old and younger should be executed. And in the midst of this greatest of births was the greatest of pain. Strange way to save the world. I want to take a moment and talk to you about the contrasts and the paradoxes of this Christmas story. The first one, there's a birth of a sinless Jesus to an unwed mother. Scripture says this, that Mary was a virgin and that the Spirit of the Lord came upon her. Could have been any young girl. Don't know exactly how old she was, but the girls tended to get married early in those days. So no doubt fairly young, probably a mid-teenager. Wonder how she felt. The Scripture said she was terrified. I don't blame her. She didn't think she was much of anything, just a village girl in one of the most undesirable villages in the region, Nazareth. We learn later that the people, when they said heard Jesus was from there, they said, "Can anything good come from that place?" Think Bakersfield on the worst day. If you're from Bakersfield, sorry, just a joke. Nazareth, can anything good come out of that place? Well, take the place that's undesirable. Take a young girl in the village, nothing special. But in the heavenly realms, heaven noticed her and said, "You are highly favored." Wouldn't it have been easy maybe to use maybe an experienced woman? That way there'd be less drama in the situation. But then where would the miracle be in that? can see God in his heaven saying, let's really shake them up. Let's really show my power. In this Christmas season, I know that some of you might feel unnoticed. Some of you may not have a lot of people around you. You might really come to despise the holiday season because it's full of pain for you. Painful memories, painful childhood, maybe just lonely. Can I tell you right now that Jesus specializes in touching the lonely? He specializes in noticing the unnoticed. And a sinless, perfect God came to earth to an unwed mother, a virgin girl, said, you're my choice. I'm so glad today that God chooses differently than the way the world chooses. And he chose her. There's the story number two of joy in the midst of tragedy. This great moment of celebration in a time of tremendous political unrest. I know that in our country, there's lots of division, lots of political unrest. But let me tell you, it doesn't really hold a candle to what it was like in the first century. The hatred of the Jews for the Romans, the arrogance of the Romans, the bloodshed. And when King Herod, not the king over Rome, but the king in the region, heard this new king was going to come, he makes the law that says all baby boys 2 years old and younger are to be murdered. Hundreds, maybe thousands, who knows how many. I've got a son, I have a grandson, not quite 1 year old. He would have been on the list. I thought about that when he visited our house the last 2 days. As I held him and cuddled him and laughed with him, I thought, what would we do? I want to tell you this, that even in the midst of tragedy, even in the midst of chaos, the presence of God is still there. Jesus was still born in the midst of tremendous heartache. Are you going through heartache today? Jesus is there. Sometimes even by Jesus' coming, the heartache is a result. Maybe you felt the persecution. Maybe you felt the sharp words of someone who doesn't like that you serve Jesus. Stand firm, because God is with you. Emmanuel, he's there. And he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. Number three, the lowly in the story are important, while those with position and prominence are insignificant. There are different characters that are listed in this story. But the ones that are most prominent in the earthly realms are not so significant. The ones that are less significant have the most prominence. We start with Caesar Augustus, the one who commanded the census to be taken, the leader of the known world at that point, the utmost. Think president, but multiplied many times, for this is one leader of the entire world. Beneath him is this man Quirinius, the governor of Syria, full of prestige and power. Further down, we see Herod, but then Joseph, the next one in line, the man of the house, but in this undesirable village with Mary beneath him. And then farther down, even maybe the lowest in the social structure, the infant. So insignificant that Herod, without even a thought, can say, kill them all. But yet in spiritual realms, but in the reality of God, the order is reversed, the exact opposite. Who's the most prominent person in the story? But the Son of God, the Messiah, come to earth. The little baby in the manger is truly the King of the world. And the one whose life is affecting those of us still today. Followed by Mary and Joseph, the godly people who obeyed the Lord, even in the face of very difficult times of ridicule. They still obeyed. They trusted. They did what God said, no matter what. Above him, the governor who vanishes from the story and really of no significance at all is Caesar Augustus. God has a way of taking the order that we put priorities and flipping them upside down, doesn't he? He doesn't prioritize the way we do. He doesn't say that the people we think are most important are necessarily the most important. What God delights in and what God elevates are people who will say, as Mary did, may it be to me as you have said, I am the Lord's servant. Those are the people that God elevates to places of heavenly glory and reward. I want to talk to you about some other contrasts. Those are some paradoxes, but there are some contrasts in the scripture. Number one, Jesus goes through human birth so that we might experience heavenly birth. Here's what the scripture says in Luke 2:11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And in John 1:12, yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus went through a human birth so that we can have a heavenly birth. Jesus was God in the flesh, prophesied from the Old Testament. The same God that when he spoke, literally the earth would shake. Thunders and lightnings and the quaking would happen when God's presence was near. That same God became man for our sake. So that he could become man, so that we could understand what God is really, truly like. He came to earth so that we could experience heavenly birth. Church, I want to tell you today, heaven is real. Heaven is real. Thank you. I got one person who actually got it. It was a real good time for amen right there. Let me try it again. Heaven is real. Thank you very much. It's there. It's real. It's not a myth. It's not some kind of wishful thinking. It's not what we do at memorial services to fill us with some kind of hope because we're grieving. It's not some kind of spiritual salve we put on that grieving wound so that we can just pat ourselves and make us feel better. Heaven is real. And God came to earth in earthly form so that we would understand that heaven is real. He came to join the earthly family so that we can be a part of the heavenly family. He was born that we might be born again. What a gift. What a free gift. Christmas can get crazy with the annoyance of having to buy so many gifts. I know it's a blessing to give, but we all feel the pressure of what do we have to buy? What do we have to buy? Where's the list? How are we going to do this? What about the crowds? What about the traffic? Ah, I'm going nuts. Thank God for Amazon. Praise God. God gave Jeff Bezos an idea. We all feel the pressure of the giving. But God gave freely, and we can receive freely today. That Jesus was born of an earthly family, so we might be part of the heavenly one. Number two, there being no room in the inn available for Jesus, but he has many rooms prepared for us. Luke 2:7 said, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. But John 14:2 says, in my Father's house, Jesus speaking, are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. On earth, there wasn't a lot of room for Jesus, but Jesus right now is making a lot of room for us. I often wonder about this part of the story. The God who took so much care and exerted so much power to send an angel to speak to Mary and then send an angel to speak to Joseph and then put a star in the sky over what is now Iran and lead a wise men across the Middle Eastern desert to land them in Bethlehem. Could he have not found a hotel with one room? But I think God's always thinking ahead of us. That even in the midst of the hurry and scurry, there might not be room for Jesus in our hearts. But he's still here. He'll take the lowliest place because he's got no, there's no place that he won't reach down. There's no depth that he won't go to. No matter where you are today, you might feel you're at your absolute low. Let me tell you what, God is already below you wanting to lift you up. He's already there because there's no place he won't go. Exemplified by his birth in a feeding trough because man didn't have any room for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Number three, Jesus became a member of the human family so that we might be part of the family of God. Matthew 2:11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him the gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. But Galatians 3:26 says, you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Sandra and I always delight, especially when the kids were younger, when someone would say, oh, I know that's your child. They look just like you. And now that we have a grandson, it's fun to look at him and watch him develop and start to look like his mom and his dad. There's a family resemblance. I wonder what it was like for Mary. Poor Joseph. Jesus didn't get his DNA. But he got Mary's in a weird kind of spiritual, earthly connection. I've never thought about this before, but the thought came to my mind this week. That as Jesus was growing up, people said, oh, Mary, I know he's your son. He looks just like you. He looks just like his mama. I wonder how Mary felt about that. Probably both proud and frightened at the same time. The Son of God, the Messiah, the King of the earth, the God that I read about in the Old Testament, he looks like me. But yet really, when he grew up, I bet Mary was delighted after especially he was crucified and he was ascended back into heaven, and Mary received the baptism in the Holy Spirit and began to live and to work, that people began to say the reverse and say, Mary, you look like your son. You look like Jesus. I got a feeling she appreciated that comment more than the first. Jesus came to look like man, to be born of a human family, so that we can grow and look like the Son, that we can look like the Savior. That's what Jesus is after. Do you look like me? I made you in my image. Now is your image like my image? That's his desire for us today at Christmas season. Do you look like me? Do you live like me? Do you talk like me? Do you love like me? Do people say, you remind me of somebody? I think his name is Jesus. Is there any greater statement anyone could make to us? Number four, angels rejoiced over his birth. Angels rejoice when we are born again. Luke 2:16 says, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger, speaking of the shepherds as they hurried off. Luke 15:10 says, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents. The angels rejoiced when Jesus was born. When a person gives their life to follow that same Jesus, they're still rejoicing. And when one person leaves this earth and transitions to their heavenly inheritance, the angels rejoice again. We've had some precious people graduate from this earth into heavenly places right now. And Rosie, if I know Louis right now, heaven is still having a rejoicing party right now because Louis's there. And so many others that have passed on. The angels rejoiced when Jesus was born, but the angels still rejoice when anyone meets him face to face and when anyone comes to know him as their Savior. I'm so glad that Jesus loves us so much that he throws one crazy Christmas party when we are born again, just like when Jesus was born the first time. Isn't it amazing to know not only that God knows your name, but that he loves you so much? When you turn to him, he finds it necessary to call the angels and let's celebrate. Because the one was found. Jesus was pursued by a wicked king so that he might destroy an evil ruler who seeks to destroy us. Scripture says, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. But Hebrews 2:14-15 says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death. That is the devil, and free those who have all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Jesus Christ came a baby. He came, but he didn't stay a baby. He grew and he became powerful. And the reason he came was to destroy the power of death so that we no longer have to fear it. If you're a guest with us today, if you're a CEO, Christian Easter only, to church, maybe you haven't heard this message very often, but let me tell you this. God is still in charge. Politicians aren't in charge. Kings aren't in charge. Rulers aren't in charge. Congress is not in charge. Jesus is in charge. And he has come to destroy the works of the devil. Right now, the earth is full of a lot of the works of the devil, but it's not going to last long. Because Jesus Christ came to destroy that. As a matter of fact, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, it says that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, the most humiliating experience, naked on the cross. And you see the nice pictures where he's got a little loincloth. Don't kid yourself. He was brutalized by the Romans and hung up there in the most embarrassing, humiliating way, whipped and beaten and mocked so that he didn't even look like a man, the scripture said. And in that moment, the Bible says, he was making a public spectacle of the devil. God does not do things the way we think. We think he should come in on a white stallion with his armies and just and annihilate everybody that's evil. But he came anyway as a baby and he rescued the world by his blood. But let me tell you, he is going to return on a white stallion with his armies and evil's going to end once and for all. It's going to happen because God is in charge and he came born as a baby to do violence. Not to do violence to you and I, but to do violence to the evil powers of Satan. And I love the line. It's an old, old, old line. It's a cliche line. But some of you live in the constant terror or in the constant nagging guilt of your past. That's the devil reminding you. And someone said in a really good way, when the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. Don't let him drag you down by the things of the past. The things that Jesus came, was born, and died to forgive, don't let him keep bringing them back up again. They're gone. They're buried. They've been crucified, never to be resurrected again. You can stand pure and righteous before Jesus Christ because he came as a baby to destroy the works of the devil once and for all. That's why he came. That's why he was born. And number six, babies represent new life filled with potential. Jesus was born to die for the sins of mankind. Hebrews 2:9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. I love babies. I love kids. Holding Emily was so cool. She didn't even cry. It's so beautiful holding that child and thinking, what are you going to be? What are you going to be like? What's your personality going to be like? How are you going to laugh? And how are you going to be creative? And like, who are you? Full of potential. Jesus's goal, his desire, his purpose was to die. That was his end game. I'm not coming here to make a name for myself, but boy, did he ever. He came to die. He came to sacrifice himself as a ransom for many. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. The baby. He's seeking us today. He's seeking us. Has he found you yet? Or are you hiding? Like Adam hid when he first sinned in Genesis chapter 3. And God said, Adam, where are you? Don't hide. I'm here. I'll cover you. That's what Jesus came to do, to cover you, to remove your past, to invite you into a new family, and someday to welcome you into heavenly places in the room he's created for you. That's our God. That's the story of Christmas, because God saves absolutely. What a time. What a day would it be to make Jesus your Lord and Savior today? What better day than the Christmas season, 2018? I hope you will. Because you know, we're not guaranteed December 24th, 2018. We got now. And only by the grace of God will we breathe again tomorrow and then on Christmas Day. Why not today? Let the baby who became the Savior be your Lord. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this gathering. The whole day today, the music was so fun and rejoicing. Singing "What a Beautiful Name It Is" over and over. Never get tired of that. The joy of dedicating Emily. What a beautiful picture. Two parents saying, as we have served Christ, so our daughter will serve Christ. And on the platform, the grandparents, the generations. What a beautiful picture of what you came to do. I pray, Lord, that every one of us today would make sure that you are our Lord. We receive the Christ child. Though the world is crazy, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of room for you. Today, we're going to make room for you. Better, we're going to remove everything else and let you have rule and reign in our hearts. Praise you, Jesus, for this morning. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if there's anyone in the room who has not yet accepted Jesus as their Savior, why not at this Christmas season? Why not? I can tell you this without a doubt. 42 years ago, I made that decision as a teenager. I've never been disappointed in God one day. There have been some tough days. There's been some great days. That's life. But here's what I know. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when it comes to my life to breathe its last, I know where I'm going. Do you know? Are you sure? I just want to pray a blanket prayer and ask the whole congregation just to pray after me. And then we'll have the prayer partners come up after that. But let's just pray this prayer. And if you pray it for the first time, or if you pray it to renew your relationship with Jesus, what a great thing. Let's pray this together. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came in very strange circumstances to save me, to forgive me of my sins, to come into my life, to be my Lord. Today I choose to follow you. I'm tired of doing things my way, of following the world's wisdom. Today I know that you are God, and I choose to follow you. God, I pray you'll help me. I need strength. I'm going to need you every day, but I trust you'll be with me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming into my life. Amen. If you prayed that for the first time, or if you renewed that, know this, that like I mentioned, there is a celebration in heaven, and it's really, really loud. And they're singing praises with your name attached. That's how good God is. Praise his name. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas holiday. I hope it's the best ever. And no matter where you find yourself, in a situation where there's much or in a situation where there's little, remember the story of Jesus. No matter where you are, he's there. And no matter where you are, let people say, you remind me of somebody. Let it be Jesus. Love you guys so much. Merry Christmas.
Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Selling Road in Cupertino, California.